The Racing Post Bloodstock Postcast is sponsored by Racing FX, the UK's leading money services provider to the equine industry. Manage all your multi-currency needs in one cash manager account and spend anywhere in the world using the Racing FX multi-currency card, sponsored by MasterCard.
Hi there, welcome to a Racing Post Bloodstock Postcast, sponsored by Racing FX. I'm Martin Stevens from the Racing Post Bloodstock desk, and our guest this time is Joseph Burke, who compiles odds on the first season sire betting for RaceBets. And we're just going to talk about the first season sires so far this year. We've had a bit of action. Obviously, it's been depleted by the rain and the awful weather we've had. But first, I thought it'd be interesting before we went on just to talk about last year's field. You chalked up Camelot as favourite, and that didn't quite come to plan. But Society Rock, obviously some punters landed some good bets there, because I think he was 7 or 8 to 1 at the start. And
yes, he was, and people latched onto him. I guess on reflection, he was probably more likely to have more 2-year-old winners than the likes of Camelot and Dawn Approach, who I'd put towards the head of the market at that stage. So, you know, they're horses that have been doing well this year, but Society Rock really stole the march last year, and he kept on going and winner after winner. And you know, it's a huge shame that the industry has lost him, because you know, he was looking like a superstar.
He had a very good horse run on Saturday night for Declan Carroll in the Clipper Logistics colours. I think World Power or World Order or something like that. And I think he'll be a future winner. He ran that Mark Johnson trained No Lippy quite close. But of course, it's not all about just the first seasons. It's a long race, the a stallion career, and Camelot and Dawn Approach are now coming into their own with their 3-year-olds.
Yes, you know, the betting that RaceBets, the market that RaceBets do, is just for a number of individual winners. So that's obviously suitable for some stallions and maybe not so much for some of the others, number of individual 2-year-old winners. So yeah, Camelot, I mean, Camelot is a super Sunday there with the Italian Guineas winner third in the Italian 1000 Guineas, and also a listed winner in France as well. And I guess it's to be expected. He was almost a Triple Crown winner as a 3-year-old himself, yeah. And being the son of Mondieu and that. He had plenty of 2-year-olds last year that won their maidens and looked like they might be nice horses for this year too.
Yeah.
So, he's motoring along nicely at the moment.
Yeah.
And Dawn Approach then, he's had his couple of stakes winners this year as well, and Mary Tudor looked impressive. You know, she was a lovely filly last year. It's hard to believe she didn't break her maiden last year, but she did. She's a big filly, and maybe she just probably needed a bit of time to fill into herself. But she, you know, she should make an impact at group level now, I'd expect. And the good Godolphin filly in France as well, who I believe is going to the French 1000 Guineas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's coming along as well. Another big, massive horse that, I suppose, on reflection, even though he was such a good 2-year-old, you wouldn't have expected him to get sharp 2-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so now if I had to ask you to take one stallion out of the class of 2017, I know you've actually bred Dawn Approach, and you bred a good horse there with Fajaj, who was a fair second last week at Windsor. But so that might colour your judgment. But if you had to take one horse out of the class of 2017, who would it be?
Well, I guess the horse that's probably going to end up on a much higher level at the end of the year is probably Camelot, to be fair. I haven't bred to him, but just... That's right now it looks like he's probably, and Dawn Approach is going to have, I think he's probably had more 2-year-old winners at this stage in his second year than he had at this stage last year. But so I guess they are the two.
Yeah. So back to this year then, and when you chalked up the prices for this year's first season side betting, you initially made Kingman favourite.
Yes.
On what grounds?
Yeah, on the grounds that he was a 2-year-old winner at the end of June himself, a good 2-year-old, albeit he didn't get to fulfil his potential in the Group 1 race in France at the end of the year, and then came out as a 3-year-old. And just, I suppose, the main thing was his turn of foot. He just had that electric turn of foot, and I kind of figured if he can pass that on to even just a small percentage of his stock, it's probably going to make him a successful stallion. Then as well, you know, he stood at 55 sterling, so he was the most expensive of this year's crop. So
is the fee being high necessarily a good thing in this particular market where you're looking for quantity? Because if I was playing devil's advocate, I might say that Kingman, I think he will be a brilliant stallion. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't necessarily have thought that the types of breeders who sent him those very top mares, classic mares, would necessarily be looking for early winners and prolific winners this year.
Absolutely, and I think you're right. I mean, Society Rock was a good example last year, and already this year he's been usurped his favourite by Slade Power now, because different type of horse breeding to a different type of mare. And yeah, so I think you're right. He probably will end up being a good stallion, but whether or not, you know, he doesn't even have any entries yet at this early stage of the season, and they probably won't start kicking in until, I guess, July onwards. So you're right, really, and that's been proven by the market. The market has latched onto that as well.
So I know Slade Power has contracted in the betting and is now favourite, and that's probably on the back of that nice Newmarket winner. But before that, before any horses had run, and after we'd published the news about the first season sire betting, were there any market moves that made you think, hang on here, that looks like money in the know?
There was interest in No Nay Never, although he's gone a little bit out in price now to start with. So I guess we were worried that may have been the money that was in the know, as it were, before any horses ran. And he has had two runners, and they both run, you know, they will be winning. They've both been placed for Aidan O'Brien. They will be winning, two runners in Europe. So I suppose that was probably the early money. And then there were little nibbles on Bungle in the Jungle as well.
Oh, and really?
Yeah, there were at 25 to 1. So he's, you know, not too much, not enough to get worried about, but it was interesting. Obviously, trainers know, and the breeze-up consigners know, because they're putting through their paces. They have a fair idea. And one or two of them will take advantage of that. Of course they will. I would too if I was in their position.
And how popular is the first season sire market? Obviously it's not going to be a race like the Stewards Cup or something with a huge turnover, but what sort of turnover and what sort of attention do you get?
It's always been good for race bets anyway. There's been, I mean, some years, the last few years we've probably ended up paying out more than we took in, to be honest, but at the same time it does generate a lot of interest, and people are sending emails looking for prices as early as January every year, you know. So we usually do it to coincide, you know, with yourselves and the start of the flat season. But it does generate quite a lot of interest. We probably do lose money betting on the market, but maybe that's down to me. Maybe I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't know, but. Yeah, we do lose money on it, but the turnover is you know, it's good enough to do it every year anyway, and we feel it benefits the company.
Because it's definitely a fun betting market if you're into bloodstock in any way. Because as I said a few weeks ago when I was writing about it, actually the last three horses who have taken the title by this criterion, which we should say is number of individual winners in Britain and Ireland just in the flat season.
Correct.
Should have made that clear.
Yeah.
But that's the case. And actually, as I was saying, the last two or three years, there's been decent price winnings. I think Society Rock was even double figures. So Prancelot was double figures when.
Yes, he was. And even going back, Namad, and they are the type of stallions that get the winners. And the great thing is everybody has an opinion. And, you know, and lots of people, you know, it's not a market where you'd be looking to take 100 quid or 200 quid or that sort of thing. You'd be, you know, it's mostly 10s, 20s, that sort of way. But you know, there's a good spread of horses that are backed every year. But in the last couple of years, we have ended up paying out plenty on the winners.
Right. So let's have a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the first season sires this year and what they've done in these very very early days of the season. After the break.
Okay.
The Racing Post Bloodstock Postcast is sponsored by Racing FX, the UK's leading money services provider to the equine industry. Manage all your multi-currency needs in one cash manager account and spend anywhere in the world using the Racing FX multi-currency card sponsored by MasterCard. Payments to all service providers in the industry at home or abroad are quick and easy to manage via our unique equine network.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Bloodstock Postcast sponsored by Racing FX. I'm here with Joseph Burke, who compiles the first season sire betting each year for Race Bets, and we're just talking about this year's market and how it's shaping up. Obviously, we haven't had that much two-year-old racing this year because there's been quite a few abandonments, but when I was looking at it last night in preparation for this, I was quite astonished, actually. I think there's been 8 two-year-old winners in Britain and Ireland for the competition by first season sires so far, and I think 5 of those winners are by sires owned by Maurice Burns, because 3 were Bungled in the Jungle, who stands at Morris's Rathaska stud, and Gregorian at the National stud has had two. I think he might be the surprise package. But we'll start with Bungled in the Jungle, who's done what he should be doing, getting out of the stalls very early with those fast, precocious two-year-old winners. So has he can't have taken you by surprise, surely?
He hasn't. I actually bred a mare to him myself as well, believe it or not, in his first season. And he's built. He's a really strong
horse, I think.
When he went to stud, I wasn't overly, I suppose, enthusiastic when I heard the news. But when I went to see him, I thought, yeah, gosh, this fella is, you know, he's like a cheaper man's Exceeding Excel, I guess, really. You know, he's similar to him, built like him, by him, obviously.
He's a fantastic pedigree. It's that Stratford Place stud pedigree, isn't it?
And he was very fast. And, you know, the Cornwallis and the other Group 3, he won as a two-year-old. Real fast, at Goodwood, I think it was.
Yeah.
He was a real fast two-year-old. And, you know, you're saying he's doing what he should be doing, but, you know, plenty of them haven't quite hit that spot yet, and he's hit it straight away. So it's a real good sign for his future. And sure, Morris and Madeline, they know what they're doing, and they've been here before, and Clos de Ville and lots of other good stallions, they've had plenty of them, and they get the right kind of mares for them and breed a lot of them themselves as well.
But presumably we think after more racing, other stallions might have caught up with him. He's got a good crop size. I'll just find out the crop. So he will have ammunition throughout the season, won't he?
Yes, there is that. And as I said, the Burnses support him with their own mares too, and put a lot of their horses in training. So
95 two-year-olds. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's enough to make.
It's good impact.
You know, probably 25 winners is I suppose the average of what you need to be aiming for if you're to win the competition. And that's quite. I mean, he's operating at a higher percentage of winners to runners already.
Yeah.
So if he keeps that up, I mean, he could do it. I mean, I think we thought last year, or perhaps the year before, either about Society Rock or Sir Prancelot. I think we sat in the studio and thought that they, you know, probably wouldn't be able to keep it up, and they did.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
I mean, he could also do it.
And to be fair, these Bungle winners, I was looking at the RPRs as well. They're getting decent figures in the 70s. Mm-hmm. High 70s. So it's not like they're winning sellers or
absolutely no
easy.
He's been, you know, when you go to see him, you appreciate the type of horse he is. And the market didn't take overly strongly to them, but I think that's changed now. As we've seen the breeze ups, you know, they were making decent money at Doncaster and at Ascot and Tats, and there's plenty more of them to come.
Yeah. And then Morris's other horse, who's at the National Stud, we were talking about there, Gregorian. Mm-hmm. Now, you wouldn't have expected him to have made such a fast start, because I think he only broke his maiden at the end of his two-year-old season and obviously got better with age. I think
he was
third, or he was very versatile, wasn't he? I think he was placed in something up to a July Cup, up to something over 10 furlongs, wasn't
That's
he?
Right, yeah. John Gosden had him, and the reason he went to the National Stud was because they also retired a son of Clos de Ville in Ireland
exactly,
the same year, SK Love. So it made sense, you know, Stan won in England, won in Ireland, and he's done really well as well. And he has been, I mean, it's not been a surprise really with Bungle in the Jungle, but it has been a little bit of a surprise that he's taken off so well, Gregorian.
So he's had Aerosphere with Brian Smart, who won at Beverley, and Gypsy Spirit with Tom Clover, who won at Windsor. And actually, I think he's got a runner today, China, however you say it, the filly with Mick Shannon.
Yeah.
Who has been remarkably influential in two-year-old racing so far this season.
I think he's got the highest potential winners to runners of any trainer in the UK, bar perhaps Charlie Appleby. They're both up there. They're both made an unbelievable start to the season. So, and he's knocking in two-year-old winners all the time.
It reminds me of that season when what was looking like the biggest first-season size surprise ever, when he was having winners left, right and centre by 60s Icon.
Yes.
4 or 5 years ago now.
And Mick is still training winners.
Yeah,
he had
exactly,
a double the other day by
him.
Yeah, he's another versatile sire. But I guess he probably, being a winner of the St. Ledger, he probably just didn't have the speed to see it through. He didn't get enough two-year-olds, I guess, you know, to see him prevail that year.
Back to Gregorian. He's got 84 two-year-olds, so slightly fewer than Bungle in the Jungle. So, again, I think for the purposes, I think they're both impressing, but for the purposes of your competition to have that volume of winners in the flat season, I think by the end of it they'll be struggling to keep up and might have been overtaken, I'd say.
I suppose that's a fair comment at this early stage of the season, but we'll probably have to revisit it again in July and see, because if they keep going the way they're going, it could be that they're just hard to be caught.
Slade Power, he zoomed to the top of your betting, I think, after Strings of Life, was it, who won at
Newmarket? Yes, at Newmarket for Godolphin, yeah. She was impressive, and I think the form was franked since as well, I'm sure.
Yes, well, we'll get onto that, because the form was franked by a progeny of another first-season sire.
Yes, with Mick Shannon.
Exactly,
yes,
yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Okay, but yeah, no, she was impressive, and kind of the way she won, really, I thought was impressive for a filly to come up the rail like she did and quicken like she did. And Charlie had, you know, Charlie Appleby's comments afterwards were very favourable about her. And then Mark Johnson also had one and a half brother to Bertino. He disappointed, but he did start. He was very well backed, I think about 5-2 into about maybe 4-6 or something like that in Newcastle, I think it was. And you know, he disappointed quite badly. I think he finished second last on the day, but I'd imagine with that volume of money for him that something must have just went wrong that day, and he'll probably be winning sooner rather than later.
So Slade Power has 100 two-year-olds to race for him this year. I said to you just before the betting started, I emailed you and said, hey, you'd be my pick. Just wants to get that in, just so you can vouch
that's
for
right,
me. I'm not
that's
I'm
right.
not after timing. Yeah. But I just thought he's got a similar profile to Society Rock, in that he wasn't actually a great two-year-old himself, and so you might not have expected him to get two-year-olds, but he was bred to be a good two-year-old, so I assume he might have had issues or was just slower to come to hand than might have been expected.
I think so. If I remember correctly, he was second early on in the season, maybe possibly I would say May, and then he didn't run again until I think December, when he won his maiden at Dundalk. So I think it probably would be fair to say if he got a clean run at it, I mean, he probably... So, yes, on one hand, you could say he didn't win his two-year-old maiden until December, but on the other hand, if he'd had a clean go at it and had no little issues, I'm sure he would have won plenty before then.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, no, you were on to him straight away, and you've been proven right about him insofar as he's now the 9-2 favourite, having been 8-1 when we started.
But that said... I was looking at the performances last night, and I'm almost more taken now by the Mick Shannon filly. I'll have to look to see how it's pronounced. Kotsu Banama, who was third behind Strings of Life, and then came out and won at Salisbury the other day.
Sunday, yeah.
Very impressively. I'm almost more taken by her now, and she's by Hereat, I should say, who stands at Mickley Stud by the great and very, very popular Dark Angel.
Oh, Dark Angel, Richard Gents.
So he's been one that he was quite popular at the yearling sales last year, wasn't he? Hereat, he's definitely one of those bubbling under.
Yeah, they sold very well, and again, like the Burnses, Richard Kent supported him really well with a lot of his own mares, and just got the horses out there, nice looking horses, good walking horses, and they sold very well considering his stud fee. And yeah, that filly was good. I mean, that was probably a good maiden. The Lope de Vega of Richard Hughes is disappointed on Sunday in the race, but. But it was probably a pretty good maiden, I think. It usually is.
Yeah. And that's right, because Tiggy Wiggy won the race, didn't she?
That's right. So it'll be interesting. And it seems like at the moment you could send anything to Mick Shannon and he'd almost find a winner for you.
Exactly. And the only other sire to have registered a winner for the purposes of your competition, the only first season sire to register a two-year-old winner, wasn't even in your betting. I doubt many people would have asked about him, was Carroccio, who had a very abortive stallion career in the Northern Hemisphere. He's actually very well bred and was a very good horse from Australia, and he was brought up to Overbury Stud. He was announced late, I think, as well. So I think in the end, well, I can tell you here, I think he ended up with something like 22 two-year-olds or something
like
that.
Yeah.
But, miraculously, he's beaten many of the more fancied runners to the punch by getting a very early winner there. Quite early on, wasn't it? I can't remember who
it was. I had to look twice.
Daphinia.
Yes.
Henry Spiller.
I had to look twice when I saw it, yeah. Yeah, but basically, yeah, we didn't put him in because I feel it's unfair to any stallion that doesn't have 60 running for him this year is going to be a huge price. So it's better off really not to put them in, because just for the basis of this competition, he doesn't have a chance, you know. But no, it was encouraging, and
it would be interesting if, say, Carroccio did manage to get 10 or between a double figure tally of winners from that few foals. I think they'd probably consider bringing him back up, wouldn't they?
I'm sure they would, yeah. I'm sure they would. There have been others, I suppose, that have done similarly and not been expected to do well. So, yeah, he could well be back. Yeah, that was an impressive winner too.
Yeah. And just a few others to mention who have made early signals this season. Tornado had a winner in France the other day, but that doesn't count because we're only looking at British and Irish winners for the betting. Mm-hmm. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, definitely at this early stage, being a high chaparral, and yeah, that is encouraging for him.
And he's really got numbers on his side. He has 119 two-year-olds.
Yeah, and that's loads. You know, that's plenty to make an impact. So
I can't remember who has the most now. Do we know who has the most? Looking through my notes, he'd be right up there actually. Australia has 107. Oh, Al Habayeb, the other Dark Angel.
Yes, Al Habayeb. Yes.
He hasn't actually done much yet, has he, Al Habayeb?
Not yet, but I suppose with those numbers, it's inevitable. Yeah. It's inevitable. Yeah.
132-year-olds for Al Habayeb. Australia also had lots, 117. War Command, 108. But yeah, Toronado is right up there, isn't he? I know when he retired stud, everyone said he was an absolutely beautiful specimen, wasn't he, at the national stud?
Yes, yeah, he went down well, and obviously he got a lot of mares. So it'll be interesting to see. I suppose he does need to get a couple. He will need to get a couple of decent ones over here as well.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he came alive, I think, in Goodwood as well as a two-year-old. So I suppose that's going to be his time, really, from then onwards. So it's encouraging he's already had a winner.
And then the other one we must mention in terms of the early pace being made in this market is No Nay Never. As we said, he hasn't quite had a winner yet, but he's obviously a sire of winners in waiting. He's had two horses placed with Aiden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by Scat Daddy, so the...
Yeah, exactly, and they both run really well as well. He's got a good amount of two-year-olds to run from as well.
Well, it's not quite as many actually as you might expect of a Cornwall first-season stallion, is it? I think he's in the 80s.
Yeah, I had him down as having 82 foals.
I've got 86.
Oh, 86. You're probably right. Yeah.
No,
so yeah, that's enough. And the two that have run for Aiden, I think they finished second and third, and they'll both be winning. One of them has entered in the two-year-old maiden at Newmarket on 1,000 Guineas Day as well. So, I don't think there's any doubt that they'll be winning. And there's been, you know, he's the only first-season sire whose stud fee has gone up.
Yes. He ended up with an astronomical yearling average, didn't he? 107,000 guineas for
yearlings
spread off a 20,000 euro fee.
Yeah.
He was the real sort of the buzz horse, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. And I think the dearest of them went to Japan. I think he made 850,000 guineas or something like that. And it's gone to Japan. So yeah, his fee, I think last year he was standing at 17,500 euros, and this year he's at 25,000 euros. So that's unusual, but it's also a, I suppose it's a vote of confidence in what they believe that he's going to do this year, you know. And as I said, he doesn't have a winner yet, but the two of them that have run really well, and they will be winning. Yeah. So that's encouraging.
Right, so they're the pace setters. After the break, we'll come back with some of the other horses for first season size this year who will make an impact, but possibly a bit later.
The Racing Post Bloodstock Postcast is sponsored by Racing FX, the UK's leading money services provider to the equine industry. Manage all your multi-currency needs in one cash manager account and spend anywhere in the world using the Racing FX multi-currency card sponsored by MasterCard. Payments to all service providers in the industry, at home or abroad, are quick and easy to manage via our unique equine network.
Right, welcome back to the Racing Post Bloodstock Postcast with myself, Martin Stevens, and Joseph Burke from RaceBets, who does the first season sire betting. We're now going to talk about some of the names who will have more of an impact as the season progresses. And I suppose, should we start with Kingman?
Yeah, Kingman is a particular favourite of mine as well, because we're lucky enough to have a half sister to him, so I am a little bit biased.
Of course, yes.
I'm a little bit biased towards him, but I really do think he had, you know, he probably of all the stallions, really, he just had that amazing turn of foot, and he's I suppose, as you were saying, because of his stud fee and that 55 sterling, he was getting a different type of mare.
I think the point is, you certainly wouldn't want to load him with unrealistic expectations of being a two-year-old sire supreme, would you? Because he's surely going to come into his own. He's there as a classic sire.
Yes, exactly. But then he is by Invincible Spirit as well, so he does have a chance.
But
he does have a chance this year. Is it? But it's more than likely he's the type of horse who's going to get, you know, two-year-olds that run well, and they might be put away. I mean, he might get a middle park horse.
Yeah.
That's probably him. So yeah, I appreciate. Yeah, you're right in saying that. Yeah, because.
But I'd agree with you. He's got absolutely everything in his favour. He's by a noted sire of sires in Invincible Spirit. He's got that fantastic pedigree. Again, there are elements in that pedigree further back. I'm not sure if it's too far back to pretend that it'd have a huge influence. slight middle distance.
Weymouth buys in. Exactly, yeah, exactly. But I suppose further, maybe closer to him then, is Dam as a half, was a French Guineas winner and is a half-sister to Ace's Dream. Yeah. So probably you'd imagine when you put Invincible on top of that, that he should be more of a... But I suppose it wouldn't surprise if he got a 10-furlong... If you got a 10-furlong three-year-old next year, either.
No.
But yeah, there are, when you go back in the pedigree, it's a real staying pedigree.
So he's got 113 two-year-olds to run for him, and he had the best yearling average last year of any first-season sire. Obviously, one of the most expensive fees as well to go with that, but 230,000 guineas. So everything is in place for him to make a good impact. I suppose we just differ on the volume of. I think he'll get lots of two-year-old winners, but possibly not as many losses.
Not enough to win the competition.
Yeah, well, maybe.
The punters agree with you, and that's why they made State Power a favourite now.
Australia was the other real big hitter who retired to stud to have two-year-olds this year. He will surely be one for more for summer onwards because he's obviously a Derby winner by a Derby winner, out of an Oaks winner. Which doesn't prohibit him from producing two-year-old winners. And actually, we were talking about 60s Icon there, who, funny enough, was also by Galileo out of an Oaks winner in Love Divine.
That's right, yeah.
And he
of course, Galileo himself as well.
So they all produced all these early two-year-old winners. Now, I remember actually when 60s Icon was doing so well, I think we spoke to Mick Shannon and the people at Norman Court Stud, Where He Stands. Mm-hmm. And they sort of intimated, really, that you can obsess too much about what the sire did and, you know, what his proclivities were. But actually, you've just got fantastic bloodlines there, so it's going to produce winners. I think that was their point, you know, you can probably overthink it. And maybe that'll be the case for Australia as well. He might just get a few more earlier two-year-olds than we're expecting. And also, now that Cornwall and other breeders know the key to Galileo is sending those sharper mares to him, because mm-hmm. obviously he was in the same position. He was by Sadler's Wells out of a Urban Sea. So maybe they'll do the same to Australia, do you think, and maybe manufacture slightly him having an earlier start?
Well, possibly, I suppose. The one thing about him as well, he won his maiden in July, I think. So he wasn't that kind of backward himself, and he hammered Free Eagle in the Group 3 and Irish Champions weekend as well. Over 7 furlongs, he was like deeply impressive that day. And then he was third in the 2000 Guineas as well, behind Knight of Thunder and Kingman. And you know, it was Charm Spirit, I think, was in that race. So that was a really good Guineas. So he wasn't devoid of pace either. So I think he might make more of an impact than a lot of the Galileos possibly.
Yeah.
And he did sire a lot of, they were really nice horses, really good walking horses too, and nicely built. But you're not going to expect to see them out soon. You're really going to expect them from, I suppose, he may have a horse for the Chesham, possibly, but I suppose, the good ones, you'd expect to see them out from July onwards.
Yeah.
So which probably, that's reflected in his price of 10 to 1. You know, if you thought he got a lot of speedy early two-year-olds and they were going to be out early, he'd be much shorter.
And to reiterate, he's actually got the volume there, 117 two-year-olds. So actually, there is volume there for one or two of them or even more to come out early and be in the vanguard for him. Tornado we've spoken about. Mukadram had a good second a few weeks ago. I know he hasn't quite got the volume of two-year-olds as some. He's got 89, bred off a fee of £7,000. He didn't figure too highly in your betting when it opened, did he?
Well, no, because he was unraced as a two-year-old himself, I suppose. And again, even though he's got the numbers and he wasn't standing at a very expensive fee, I suppose you'd be hoping that you'd be breeding, probably breeders are looking to breed milers and maybe 10 furlong horses by him. So he was a decent, I think he's 40 to 1, So
Charm Spirit, he's had a few runners, yet to have a winner, I think. But he was up there in the betting as well.
Yeah, he's only 14 to 1. Again, a son of Invincible Spirit. I mean, any son of Invincible Spirit, you know, you have to watch them in these markets. I suppose it's early days for him yet as well. But again, he was, I think he won two or three Group 1s maybe as a three-year-old. But he was fifth in that Guineas again, that good Guineas. Yeah. Knight of Thunder and Kingman in Australia. So, and he's well-bred. So he's bound to have a chance. I guess... why he's 14 to 1 is probably because a lot of his runners will probably be in France, which is understandable. So
94 two-year-olds for him in his first crop. Gale Force 10, he had quite a large crop to start with. He hasn't done much so far, but presumably will do because his should be, he's by Oasis Dream, good
yeah.
sire of sires.
And he was an early two-year-old himself and he ran at Royal Ascot and that. And yeah, you'd be hoping for the Irish National Stud that he does well because, you know, they run a really good operation
yeah.
there, and Invincible Spirit is getting on a little bit, and they've
yeah.
got two new good recruits this year, but we're at Gale Force 10 now, so you'd be hoping for him. Some of the Breeze Up boys were making positive sounds about them. So he's 20-1 at the moment, and that's just reflective of the fact that he hasn't had a winner yet. But I'm sure, you know, you'd imagine he'll get a good 10 or 12 of them as 2-year-olds this year, you'd hope.
Another Oasis Dream who will be fascinating to follow. I wouldn't like to pin my colours to the mast and say exactly what he'll do this year. Is Morpheus, the
yeah.
Half-brother to the Frankel.
Yeah, again, didn't win as a two-year-old himself, but he has a huge amount of foals for him. I had 101, and I think your numbers are a little bit higher than me. You might have got up-to-date numbers, so you probably have him up around
yes.
the 110 mark, maybe.
108, yeah.
108, okay, yeah. So, you know, he's plenty to run from. It's very difficult to say how he's going to do. But, you know, going back to 60s Icon, similar, you know, with blood sometimes out, and even
yeah.
though he wasn't, he didn't make an impact as a two-year-old himself, it's not to say with that breeding that, you know, and with what Frankel has done as well.
And the interesting thing with him is the heritage, because he is from Tally Ho Stud, where he stands,
mm-hmm.
and they are kingmakers in this department, really, are they? Aren't they? Do you take
Absolutely.
That into consideration? They've had Society Rock, Sir Prancelot in previous years. They've had Kodiak,
Cody,
who wasn't
yeah.
leading
yeah.
first season sire, but he, you know.
Oh,
certainly.
Absolutely, yeah, where they stand, because generally, like Tally Ho, attract you know, it's about the stallion, but it's also about the mares, and they seem to attract and breed their own mares to these stallions
yeah.
that do really well. So that definitely comes into it. I mean, if he hadn't stood at Tally Ho, he'd be twice the price, probably, to be honest
yeah.
with you. But you know, they're brilliant at every aspect of the industry, from, you know, pinhooking foals, yearlings, breezers.
Yeah.
They do everything, and they're really good at their job. And yeah, because he stands there, that's why he, as I said, he'd be twice the price if he stood in most other places.
I'd say when they have a stallion who doesn't perform quite so well, it's safe to write them off because they would have thrown everything at it, and they know how to launch a stallion.
They do, yeah, they do. And if they don't, if they know they've got a good breezer and they don't make the money at the breeze up sales, they race it too.
Yeah,
you know, so they,
exactly, yeah.
yeah, they put plenty. A bit like Morris Burns and Richard Kent as well. They Tally Ho,
yeah.
they support their own stallions too.
Yes,
and they buy them from breeders as well. You know, which I think encourages the same breeders.
Well,
to go
exactly.
back
actually, a lot of those Bungle in the Jungle and Gregorian winners, they've had Morris or Madeline
mm-hmm.
or Mick Shannon, who's a very close associate of the stud or a friend
mm-hmm.
of Morris. They've had a hand in a lot of those winners, haven't they? So you're right. You can't underestimate how
yes,
how much the studs and the people around them actually. They put a lot of resource into trying to build these horses, don't they?
They do, and they make them. You can't do it without the raw product, but they know if they've got one. And it's the same with Tally Ho as well, you know?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. It's intriguing, really.
Yeah. Others we should mention, Garswood by Dutch Arts, who was a good first season sire himself a few years ago, has 74 two-year-olds. He'll make an impact, won't he?
Yeah, he was a listed winner in September as a two-year-old himself. But just because he's down in the 70s,
yes.
you know, compared to some of the other stallions, it's going in this particular, in the race bets market for a number of individual winners, it's going to make it difficult for him to feature near the top. But that's not to say he's not going to make an impact.
No. And in his favour, I think Richard Fahey, who trained Garswood, has a lot of them. And obviously, Richard Fahey can train two-year-olds. And
absolutely, yeah. And there's a lot of the races up the north of England as well
yeah.
there that can be farmed too, you know. So, yeah, that's a good plus for him.
Al-Habieb, we've mentioned, he has the most two-year-olds of all, hasn't made an impact just yet, but we're confident he will at some point.
Yeah, well, he was second in the Windsor Castle as well as a two-year-old, so this is his time, this is his year, and they sold well and, you know, everybody seemed to like them. So, yeah, if... Yeah, you know, we're very early in the season yet.
Yeah.
We're only the 1st of May.
Oh, yeah, exactly,
so,
yeah.
So, yeah, there's plenty of time yet. But he didn't really do so much as a 3- and 4-year-old. Then I think he went to Dubai. So you'd be hoping that they'll be making a mark this year.
And just a quick romp through some of the others. War Command, who won the Coventry so impressively and then won the Dewhurst by the end of the season. He has 108 two-year-olds, bred off a €15,000 fee. Again, I don't think quite yet he's made a start at this very, very early stage of the season, but he must do, mustn't he? He will get his fair share of.
Yeah, you'd imagine so. He was joint fourth favourite in the race bets market to start with because of the fact that he was such a good 2-year-old, you know, and he demolished the field in the Coventry and you know, all the way through as a 2-year-old, he was really, really good, and being by Warfront, I think if I remember rightly, he only ran maybe about 10 days before the Coventry. He only made his debut then, so early June. So I guess if he wasn't out till then, that's when you wouldn't be expecting his progeny for another month or so to start hitting the heights.
And an important horse for Cornwall, because they've thrown so much of their weight behind Warfront, and they're all about building stallions and making stallions, so they need some of these Warfront horses to do it for them. And
Air Force Blue into the United States, because I guess because War Command is here, and Declaration of War stood one season in Coolmore, I think it was just one, and then he went to the US as well. So I think he's the only representative at Coolmore by Warfront now.
Right.
See, I think so. Yeah there's right. yeah. yeah. So there's hopefully he'll do. You'd like to see him do well, because it's an outcross for a lot of the mares.
Yeah, exactly. So many to mention. Olympic Glory has 92 two-year-olds, but presumably, I mean, he was a great 2-year-old as himself, and by Schwazier, who's so influential, but presumably he would have figured slightly lower down in your betting, because you think he'll have plenty of runners on the continent, would you?
Yeah, probably there'll be a lot of them in France as well.
And that,
because he stands there. So that's he was about 12-1, I think we race bets chalked him up as around a 12-1 shot. Yeah, I mean, he could, you know, sometimes, you know, the French send 2-year-old horses over to Royal Ascot, and Owen O'Neill won one of the black type races at Ascot with a 2-year-old a couple of years ago, maybe the Windsor Castle, or I can't remember which one.
He won the Chesham, which suits you, didn't he?
Chesham, So maybe, you know, horses like that could come over. But probably, if he had more representatives in the UK and Ireland, he'd be a shorter price.
And another one I wanted to mention, who we would have no expectations for him producing early horses at all, but I think he will get quality in abundance, because I loved him as a racehorse. See the Moon at Landweeds.
Yes. I suppose because he's by See the Stars, it's a different line. He's a good-looking horse. For the purposes of this number of individual two-year winners in Great Britain and Ireland, that's not where he's going to be seen at his best. But, I mean, if he produces a couple of classy horses that look like they'll go on next year, that'll be a good result for him.
He's got good ammunition, actually, 105 two-year-olds.
Yeah, he's got plenty, He was very, very well supported. And
very well supported in the ring last year, 71,000 odd guineas, his overall yearling average.
Yeah, crikey, that's a big return off a 15 grand stud fee. And yeah, I suppose, you know, Miss Rousing does a good job, and his owners and breeders as well are there, and they've all supported him well. So that's, he'd be the type of horse, I suppose, you'd be hoping we'd get a, you know, 10 furlong Dante horse next year, that type of thing, you know.
Well, I sincerely hope he does it. Now, we could waffle on about first season size all day, because we love doing it, but I think time is nearly up.
Okay.
So just before we head off, it's the guineas this weekend. Who is your pick for each race?
In the 2,000 guineas, I'd probably go with Saxon Warrior, even though I think he'll be better over further. You know, the same could be said for Camelot as well, and Aidan O'Brien got him ready. Now, the ground was a bit soft maybe the year Camelot won it, but I'm not sure exactly what the ground is going to be this weekend. I'm hearing different things, but I'd imagine it'll be good. I don't think it's going to go too good to firm, and I don't think it's going to be soft either. So I'd imagine it'll be good ground. And if you asked me last week, I probably would have said Gustav Klimt, because of the fact that he's been out this year and the turn of foot he showed that day on bad ground, and he was such a good 2-year-old.
I'm just slightly prejudiced against Racing Post trophy winners in the guineas. I know Camelot did it, but Camelot was a special horse, and it wasn't the greatest field that year. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I would be. I'm team El Ocam, especially from the breeding point of view. It'd be such a fantastic story
from
have
a breeding point of view. Yeah,
and horses, the progeny of two horses who burned up the Rolling Wild to win the Guineas and Franklin Attraction. It'd be a great story for us if he managed to do it.
Yeah, I loved Attraction because you could almost set your clock by her literally every time she ran a mile, a minute 36 every time Ascot, Newmarket, wherever, and that was good enough to win. And nearly almost always is good enough to win. And yeah, I loved her because she just did it every time. And Frankel, and of course he beat that horse that we bred last year. We were a long way behind him in fourth in the Group 3 in Newmarket.
Yes.
But he was in a different class that day. And I suppose you'd like to have seen him out this year.
Well, I did when he was galloped the other
day. Oh, right, okay, okay.
But
yeah.
No, of course, anyone who didn't get to Newmarket early enough wouldn't have. But
yeah, I
would say he was very impressive, yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
And 1,000 guineas. Personally, I'd be boring and say I can't see past Happily because she's so well-bred and she beat the colts last year in France. She's obviously a sister to Glen Eagles and Marvellous, who have both won guineas races themselves. Have you got anything more interesting to say?
I can't. No, I just think I think she's the winner, and that's about it. I mean, like all the, you know, Claimy dropping out, September dropping out, Voracious, the one of Sir Michael Stouts in Sheveley Parks, that unfortunately hasn't made it. And I just think, I Can Fly is second favourite, joint second favourite, and she was only third in her guineas trial prep race.
Yep.
Now I know Aidan's improved an awful lot for that, but just the fact that I just think Happily's on a different level to her, so I think she should win.
Well, thank God the flat's back. We've got going to be an exciting season. We've got the guineas to look forward to, the classic trials afterwards, and the first season sire betting. So maybe we'll catch up later in the year and see how the market has taken shape.
Yeah, could have changed an awful lot by then.
Could look silly. It's very, very early days. We have to keep underlining that.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching, and we'll be back soon.
The Racing Post Bloodstock Postcast is sponsored by Racing FX, the UK's leading money services provider to the equine industry. Manage all your multi-currency needs in one cash manager account and spend anywhere in the world using the Racing FX multi-currency card sponsored by MasterCard.